welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer. And we are starting it out with this day, with a song by our theme song by Gregory Stafford. And again, as many of you know, the song is entitled No One Else. And as I've mentioned before, Gregory Stafford composed the song and is performing it all. I appreciate you, Gregory. And I'm glad that you all are joining me for another episode of Spiritual Perspectives. We call it spiritual perspective most of the time. You could also call it biblical perspectives, because that's really what it's about. Basically, what we do is we take a topic that has to do with how we live, and we look at that topic from a biblical perspective. We're going to take a look at that now, and let me tell you where we're going with this. I know that a lot of people all across America really love the verse, the passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. For some reason, this is a verse that really captivates and has captivated for a long, long time many, many Americans who purport to be Christians. It has to do with taking a look at ourselves. Remember Michael Jackson talking about the man in the mirror? And so often, change is needed. I mean, you think about it. Let's just be upfront about this. There are a lot of things going on in the world that just aren't cool. I mean, a lot of things that are really, really good. Let's not overlook that. Think about the many, many parents we have who do a great job of taking care of their children. Think about the many parents we have who do at least an okay job of taking care of their spouses. Married people who do it, again, at least an okay job. You have some who really do a great job of taking care of their spouses. When I say taking care of, I don't mean that their spouse has some type of illness and they really go above and beyond in looking out for their spouse who's afflicted with some type of illness. That's not what I'm talking about, although that too is good. But what I'm talking about is just day-to-day caring, respecting each other, loving each other, living in such a way, conducting themselves in such a way that their spouses enjoy being with them. That's what I mean now when I say they do an okay job or a very good job of taking care of their spouses. Just getting to first base. And some people making it all the way around the bases to home. Think about the many people we have across this country, around the world, who look at the plight of the poor and the oppressed. And they do everything in their power to help the poor and the oppressed. But of course, we know the flip side of that is the reason that so many people are doing what they can to help the poor and the oppressed is because there are people who are oppressing. And they are working hard to keep people impoverished, to keep them poor. There are a lot of people who work hard to make it very difficult for all citizens of America to freely cast a vote. And when I say freely, I mean without any unnecessary hindrances. You have people who make that process as difficult as possible, and you have people who fight against the push to make it difficult for people of color to cast their votes, cast their votes without any unnecessary hindrances. There are a lot of good things going on in this world. Think about the good time that so many people have just by doing something as simple as going to a restaurant and enjoying a good meal, a well-prepared meal with people they enjoy being with. Think about the sunshine that makes the environment, the atmosphere so beautiful. Think about the times we step out of our homes and we hear the birds singing, talking with each other. And it is beautiful outdoors. The temperature is great. It feels good on our skin. It is bright out there, even if we have some beautiful white clouds high up in the sky. We still have the sun shining brightly and beautifully. And although that's something that we can take for granted, we shouldn't, because it helps us enjoy life. All I'm saying is there's a lot of good going on in this world, but we also know that there is a lot of not good going on in this world too. People who are dedicated, committed, devoted to keeping wars going. People who are committed to, when I say wars now, I'm talking about international warfare, global warfare. But we also have people who are committed to perpetuating as much as they can race war within a country. And on it goes. And all of this because of the introduction of sin into the world. It started with Lucifer, a guy who was once just beautiful. He was created, an angel who had been created perfect. And he decided that he was not going to be satisfied with all that God had created him to be, with all that God had empowered him to be. And he was going to take over the number one spot in the world. He was going to become like the Most High God, which means essentially he was going to take over the top spot. There were other angels who had also been created perfect. And they decided that they were not satisfied with what God had given them as far as how they were created and lines of authority and responsibilities that they had. And so they were going to get what they considered to be more, and they were going to get it their way. What about the watchers, who were also called angels who were called watchers, and they were supposed to be basically protecting mankind and teaching mankind truths about this world, but they were supposed to be teaching good truths that would help benefit mankind in our lives. And instead, some of these watchers, not all of them, some of the watchers corrupted themselves, particularly when they saw the beauty of human women and decided that they were going to take those women to be their wives so that they could have sexual intercourse with them. And madness really, really poured into the earth at that point. Of course, we can't leave out the fact that Eve, the first human being to sin on the earth, the first human being now, there's no question that the serpent was sinning before Eve sinned, because the serpent was already, the serpent inhabited by Satan was already sinning by making the attempt to tempt Eve to do the one thing her father, God, had told her not to do. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. That was the only thing they'd been told not to do, she and Adam, her husband. And the serpent, being used by Satan, was already sinning on the earth by trying to tempt Eve to disobey God and by deceiving her, working to deceive her. However, that still did not constitute the first sin of a human being, because the serpent was not human. Eve was human, and unfortunately, she fell for the lies that the serpent told her. And she decided that just as Lucifer and some of the other fallen angels had decided God had not given them enough, Eve decided God had not given her enough. The serpent had told her, you eat from that tree that God told you to leave alone, you become wise. Your eyes will be opened. And that's some good stuff. So Eve decided that tree was good for eating, good for fruit. She decided it would make her wise. It would open her eyes. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life kicked in big time in Eve's life. She decided, the pride of life kicked in when she finally concluded, after deciding that that fruit was good to eat, it would make her wise, it would open her eyes, she decided, I'm going to eat it. She's already showing some vestiges of pride when she decided that fruit was good for eating. It was good for food. She was already exhibiting some level of pride, unhealthy, ungodly, dark pride, when she decided that that fruit would make her wise. She had already been created with wisdom. She was wise from the moment of her creation. God made her in his image, and he's wise. So he put wisdom in her. She was wise, not as wise as God, but she was wise. But she decided she didn't have enough wisdom. She wasn't wise enough, and she was going to gain more wisdom the serpent's way. Essentially, Satan's way, by eating from the tree that God told her not to eat from. Pride really kicked up into its high gear when she decided, not only is this good for food, the opposite of what God said, not only is this something good to make me wise in contrast to what God has said, but I'm going to go ahead and eat it. And she did. You talk about pride. Eve, the first woman, the first human on the earth to sin, was the woman. And she was not satisfied with her sin, just as Lucifer was not satisfied being in sin himself, but encouraged other angels to fall with him, to sin with him. So Eve decided she was not going to be satisfied being in sin alone. And so she turned to her husband and encouraged him to eat fruit from the forbidden tree. Unfortunately, instead of listening to his father, he listened to his wife, Eve. He ate. And so Eve became the first human to corrupt another human. The woman became the first human to corrupt another human. The man became the first human to allow another human to lead him down the wrong path. So they did that. They changed what had been a righteous nature, the one with which God had created both of them in his image. They changed that righteous nature into a sinful nature, one that would be inclined to disobey God, to go against God, to resist God, in many cases to actually fight God. A losing battle, but to fight God. So, here we go. They have sinned. They both have, instead of a righteous nature now, a sinful nature. And as many of you have heard me say before, the only nature that those two would be able to pass into their offspring when they began to have children is the nature that they had. And since the only nature, they were not going to have a righteous nature and a sinful nature at that point in their lives, they were only going to have one nature, and that was the one they brought on themselves, a sinful nature. That's what they would pass into them, into their children, their offspring. So sin began to just prevail on the earth as generation after generation after generation was born with a sinful nature. And so we have people just finally just fighting against God, fighting against righteousness, fighting against holiness. And that doesn't mean that there was no good in mankind at that point. I've already shared with you. many of the good things that are happening right now. Part of the reason that slavery, the kind that enslaved many, many, many millions and millions of black people. I know we have human trafficking with sex slaves even today, but the kind of slavery that involved race. The reason that we don't have that in America anymore is because we had so many people fighting a good fight to end slavery, racial slavery in America. And fortunately, the good people, the people who fought against slavery, won the battle instead of those who were fighting for slavery. And I do mean, as you know, literally fighting in that Civil War. Of course, the battle continues. We still have people today who don't want people of color in general, black people in particular, to be able to vote for people who they have reason to believe will be their voice in Washington, D.C., and the state capitals, even on the local levels in some places. So how do we do this? What do we do? We got the sin is here. Fortunately, righteousness is here. Holiness is here. God is here. And God is still doing his part to help us know, understand, and appreciate and value the fact that he has provided a way for us to be set free from the power of sin so that sin no longer just dominates us, and so that we're free from the eternal consequences of sin, which involves eternal separation from God, the author of peace and joy, whereby instead of being in his presence for all eternity, we would be separated from him from all eternity and find ourselves living lives of torment and misery for all eternity. That is the decision that has been made by many, many, many people throughout the ages. But God has provided a way for us to escape that madness. And of course, it requires consistency. We need to be about the business of, number one, reconnecting with our Father by accepting eternal life through his son, Jesus. By accepting the fact that the Lord Jesus gave his life for us so that as we accept what he did, becoming our substitute, becoming sin for us. And there are places in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, where sinners who are resisting God continually as their lifestyle, fighting God as their lifestyle, are equated with sin and darkness. And we find that God has come up with a way for us to be set free from the doom, the damnation, the condemnation, the eternal condemnation with its consequences of being people who are either who die in our sins and are therefore doomed to eternal misery, or when the Lord Jesus returns, we're still fighting against him and find ourselves on the wrong side of eternity, the wrong equation of eternity. That which brings suffering, torment, and misery for thousands and thousands and thousands of years without end. We accept the fact that the Lord Jesus became sin for us, as a result, was rejected by God, his Father, for us, so that we would not have to remain sinners, and so that we would not have to be rejected by God, but instead could gratefully acknowledge that Jesus gave his life for us so that he could become sin for us. God, having forgiven us for the sake of his son Jesus, who died for us, so that when we die, our spirits don't have to be eternally dead, removed from God and living in torment. But instead, our spirits being given eternal life at the moment that we determine. To reconnect with God by connecting with his son, Jesus. Asking Jesus to forgive all of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, to really cleanse us from all the filth that is attached to sin. So that we'll be clean in his sight, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives, comes into our bodies once we make that connection with Jesus and yield to him, allowing him to be our Savior who sets us free from domination of sin, and our Lord as he becomes our Master, the one who guides and directs our lives for the rest of our lives. So that when we die, or when Jesus returns, we live with him forever, and eventually with the Father forever, in peace and in joy that we can't even begin to imagine. In the meantime, we have to keep working, doing our part to keep cleansing ourselves from whatever remaining sin is in our lives, honestly confessing when we mess up, when we sin, and trusting God to forgive us and to cleanse us again. To this end, we find ourselves in the company of people who have come centuries and centuries before us, ages and ages before us, called God's people, but still not having perfected the godly lifestyle. And so there comes, in comes 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people who are called by my name. In this discussion, in this conversation, we are going to focus on what we need to turn away from. We're going to read the entire verse, but we're going to focus our discussion on some of the things that we can turn away from. I'll be right back.